Hi, I'm Delphine Blue, and I want to thank each and every one of you who pledged your support to listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM during our spring fundraising drive. A pledge is a promise, so please remember to honor your pledge. Send in your payment today to keep WBAI alive tomorrow.
And you can also head down to the post office and mail that tonight, because they're open 24 hours over at 34th Street. So don't let the heat stop you. This is WBAI in New York. Time now for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. Couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best, it's best for worse. I hope that's understood from Billy Bones.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Forgive us if we're a little flustered tonight, but in great heat, machines have a tendency of not working. And these machines are no exception, but they seem to be working just fine now. Hi, Isaac.
How
speaking
you doing?
Speaking of machines, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. At least the air conditioning is working this time.
It is. In here, anyway. It's not working anyplace else.
Oh.
But, boy, it's certainly pretty hot out there, isn't it?
Well, I've been hearing, like, things all day with people saying they go home and there's no power.
It's what they call rolling blackouts.
Yes.
Except they don't tell you where they're going to be rolling to next. Basically, the power company turns off your power for 20 minutes so that they don't have to turn off your power later. Something like that. I don't know quite what the logic is. But if they told you in advance, you'd be able to prepare for it at least. So if your power goes out for 20 minutes, I guess you're not supposed to panic. Or something like that. We'd like to hear from people who have had various horror stories because of the heat or because of anything else. That's what we're here for, horror stories mostly. We have some events coming up next weekend. Of course, is DEF CON, and that's probably the largest hacker conference, I think, right now. Maybe H2K will be bigger next year.
We'll see.
It's only New York City. How do you compare to Vegas, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Mm. And then
neon per capita is way up there.
That's happening this coming weekend. If you want information on that, go to www.defcon.org. And I have a phone number here you can also call, area code 206-626-2526. But if you're into something a bit more international in flavor, you might want to consider the Chaos Communication Camp, the Rendezvous. It's a 3-day hacking experience near Berlin in Germany. That takes place on August 6, 7, and 8. For more information on that, www.ccc.de. DE for Deutschland. And they'll have all the information there. And that's one of these outdoor hacking intense experience type of things that they have over there in Europe. I know why we don't do that over here. We don't have the capability, I guess, of setting up tents and figuring out how to wire them for Ethernet. You know, it's something that's strictly European. But I've done it a couple of times. Well, actually, no, I only did it once. Hacking at the End of the Universe, HEU. Of course, Hacking in Progress, HIP, took place at the same time as Hope, Beyond Hope, in 1997. The next one that's going to be happening in Amsterdam or in Holland will be in 2001. I believe it's called Hackers at Large, HAL 2001.
Ooh.
Kind of cool, huh?
I like that.
So basically, we have a three-part convention here. We have the Chaos Communication Camp in Berlin this year. We have H2K in New York next year, and we have HAL 2001. And we're still looking for a venue for H2K, which will take place probably about a year from now. So if you know of a place that's cool, that's big, that can hold, say, 1,000 to 2,000 people, that can be wired for Ethernet and the outside world pretty easily, give us a call. Well, you can give us a call at our voicemail number here, 212-209-2967, or you can call us at the 2600 office, 516-751-2600, or you can email us, oth@2600.com. Isaac, anything new in your part of the woods?
Oh, not all that much. I'm just going to be missing many of the upcoming conferences. I'm thinking of actually holding my own.
And what would you call that?
Oh, that would be GeekCon or GHICon, which, you know, I had to go for the next three letters after death. It's the Grand Hacker Invitational, which I will be holding in my apartment alone, staring at the opposing wall from my couch.
Sounds fascinating.
It is.
Well, even more fascinating is this material sent to us from Bernie S.
Ooh.
This is pretty funny, actually. Get ready to laugh. New Zealand censors are struggling to police violence and sex in computer games because they do not have the skills to reach the top game levels. Something perhaps our listeners can help with. Working under legislation requiring the whole game to be viewed in order for it to be classified, head censor Bill Hastings said his staff spent hours trying to conquer each game and look into every virtual option. It is impossible to apply the law to this medium. If I bought a computer game and I could play the whole thing in, say, 3 or 4 hours, I would be ripped off. Options to resolve the issue included requiring importers of the games to supply cheat sheets to cut through each level, or, and this is the good one, hiring expert shoot 'em up game jockeys for the censors to watch play.
Ex-NYPD. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That could be pretty amusing. You know, all of a sudden you get the illegally circulated police department or law enforcement cheat sheets. You know,
and
big
then they
PDF
get
file that rolls around.
Yeah, they get out to the public and everything goes nuts then. Computer hackers apparently used a well-publicized software flaw to vandalize the U.S. Army's main internet site for as long as 9 hours before anyone noticed. Other hackers attacked the federal weather site early June 29th. That's pretty. Did we talk about this already, or did this? I don't remember if this happened already, because it happened so many times with military sites. But yeah, the Army got hacked and a weather site got hacked as well. It just never seems to end. And what else? Here's a question from a listener on Off the Hook, June 15th, 1999. Emmanuel talks about how the cover of the new 2600 is illegal. I don't see how it is. What is illegal and wrong about it? Thanks for your time. Signed, Java Man. Well, if you look at the cover, how many of us have covers? Okay, I've got a cover right here.
I actually lost the issue that you gave me
beforehand.
Not,
and you wonder why I don't give you issues. That is why, because
well,
you lose them.
Well, it happened at the last 2600 meeting.
All right, well, if you look, and those people on the net, if you want to join us, just go to the website, www.2600.com. And you know, I think the best way to say those three W's without stumbling over yourself is to say one W. It's w.2600.com. And either you type in three W's or you just type one W.
If you're not smart enough to type the other two, then I suppose you just get the
It's assumed. It's assumed.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, if you go to that site, you'll see a picture of our cover on the front page. You can click on it, make it even bigger, and you'll see. Well, what do you see when you look at this cover, Isaac?
Hey, that's the Edward R. Roybal.
Well, it doesn't really matter what the
Center
name of it is.
And federal building.
But what is it exactly?
That's a building.
It's more than just a building.
It's a federal building.
It's more than just a federal building. And one more wrong answer, and my phone is hitting you in the head.
It's the Metropolitan Detention Center.
There we go. It's the building that Kevin Mitnick has been housed in for over 4 years.
So you actually captured photons bouncing off this concrete structure?
And that's
supposedly
what I've been told. I've been told by many a prison guard, many a policeman, and various other federal people that it is illegal to photograph a prison.
Oh, no.
And, we had our staff people stand across the street and photograph that prison.
But that's an illegal act.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to break the law to, to show how unjust it is. So if you go out and buy a copy of 2600, you're looking at an illegal cover, illegal picture. Because apparently if you have a picture of the prison, people can study it and figure out how it works and how to get out of it. I guess that's the logic behind not taking a picture of it. If you have a photographic memory, I don't know, I guess you're also a danger to the system.
Well, if the person has a photographic memory, wouldn't they be able to see the outside of it when they walk in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
So there goes that.
The real thing that amazes me is that the prison is in the middle of a city, you know? If you want it to be hidden and secret, hide it someplace. But if you stick it in the middle of the city, like they're doing with the new one in Philadelphia, you can't expect people not to take pictures of it or not to notice it.
Well, either that or that artist who wraps up buildings in paper could make a real killing through the federal court system.
I mean, just wrap up the building and hide it that way.
Yeah.
I suppose. Put it in some kind of stealth curtain or something.
Sure.
I'm sure the Defense Department's working on it right now. Anyway, so that issue is out now. It's a summer 1999 issue. Extremely odd because it is summer 1999 and the summer issue is what's on the stands, not the spring issue. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. In fact, I think we're early. It's kind of cool. More mail. My friend recently hooked up with a psychopathic bitch who has maxed out his credit cards, among other things, but more importantly, has had his phone number changed and it is now unlisted. Can you help me get an unlisted phone number or steer me in the right direction? This information will only be used for educational purposes. Any help is greatly appreciated. Signed, Courtney. Well, basically, getting an unlisted phone number is not the difficult part. It's keeping it unlisted that's hard. And the reason for that is the phone company, mostly. They more recently have a system that allows people trying to reach you to leave you a message even though your number is unlisted. For instance, you'll call information and they'll be told, hey, the number for Michael Jackson is unlisted. Would you like to leave him a message, though, and we'll call him with that message? And then you could, like, leave your death threat through the recorded message. And the result is pretty much the same thing.
It's just
that you don't have his number. But why do you need his number? Because you can simply leave the messages anyway.
But you miss the personal feel of, like, trying to hear the person break out into a cold sweat.
But he doesn't. He gets the personal feel of terror and fear that you're trying to send across.
Oh, okay.
So that's just one of the things. The other thing, of course, is the horrible security that phone companies have, where you basically call up someone and say, hello, I'm Bill Clinton. I forgot my phone number. Would you please tell me what it is? They'll say, oh, certainly. Would you like your Social Security number, too? And that's the kind of security we're dealing with. I've had people tell me my password over the phone for various phone companies. You know, they give you a password so you can't have this problem where people call up and say they're you. You have a password. But if you forget your password, they'll offer to give it to you sometimes. Another thing that happens is that people put a password on your account before you do, so they become you and you don't. It's really, that happened to you, Porsche?
Yeah, you did it.
Did I? I'm sorry. I must have been bored. I did. I did that to you. No. You're talking about your voicemail when you got your OmniPoint phone.
Same difference.
Well, no. I'm talking about somebody calling Bell Atlantic, talking to a representative, sticking a three-digit code in your account, and the representative will refuse to give you any information unless you have that code, unless you get the representatives I talk to, in which case they'll give you the three-digit code, which you just have to say to them, and then they'll give you the information.
Well, keep calling back and keep guessing until you hit it.
It's almost like a computer, calling these people. But so anyway, the unlisted number is really not the entire thing that you need. You also need to disguise the name. It's very simple to take out a phone in someone else's name, not necessarily an existing person. You simply tell the person at the phone company you want it listed under this name. If you want an unlisted number, what difference does it make if you list it under a fake name? And also the other advantage to that is that you don't have to pay them to not list your phone, which is one of the charges I can never understand, where you have to pay them a certain amount every month to not be in the phone book. You give them a fake name, that name appears in the phone book. The people you know the name, or nobody knows the name. And if they ask for your number, they might not get it. If it's still billed to you, though, they will. So it might be a good idea to change your billing name as well. That's unfortunately what you have to do to remain private.
Well, you could move into a shack in the hills of Montana as well.
Well, yeah, not have a phone and just write long letters to people.
Or use an Iridium phone.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that too. Anyway, good luck on that situation. Here's another letter. Hi, I'm curious as to what the name of the album slash group of the music on the June 15th radio broadcast of Off the Hook was. Well, you see, there's no way we can tell you that because there's not enough information there. Sometimes we play a lot of music and sometimes, you know, we play several things at once. Like right now, for instance, we're playing a band called Slint.
Were.
Yeah, they're sort of finished now, but that's one of my favorite CDs. And the second question here, is there any 2600 group in the Tampa, Florida area? Well, you know, there's a good way to find out if there is.
Is it your local psychic?
Well, I guess that could be one way, but no, there's a better way.
What would that be?
That would be our brand new IRC network.
Ooh.
Which has really taken off through the roof. Porchop, maybe you have something to say about that.
Yes, well, we have one server in the middle of New Jersey, irc.2600.net. Make sure you do the .net, not .com. You can go to all sorts of channels there. Pound 2600 is the major channel right now. Pound Off the Hook, you get this conversation. There are bots in Pound Off the Hook linked to the bots in Pound Off the Hook on EFNet. So if you converse in one, you'll be conversing in both. You can go to FL2600 in irc.2600.net, and you'll be linked with people in your area. Supposedly there are other people in your area. I did see actually that there was a Pound FL2600 on the network. This is currently the only way we have to find people in your area, and it's probably the only one we should have because we are sort of a secretive bunch.
Yeah, we try to stay underground, you know, so nobody knows about us, and so that people write articles saying how underground we are. Because being underground is cool, isn't it?
No, something like that.
Actually, yeah. We're not underground at all. We're out there. We have meetings and open spaces for people that might believe us. We're not trying to hide.
A lot of people try to stay anonymous, though. We're
yeah.
not trying to hide.
Anonymity is not a crime.
We say hi in person, but we try to remain anonymous for a lot of what we do.
So basically, if you're in an area, then you want to know if there's other 2,600 people, simply go on to, assuming you have internet access, obviously this person does since he sent this email, go into your local IRC client, and as the server, specify irc.2600.net, and simply join a channel with the first two letters of your state preceding 2600. So if, say, you were in Alaska, you would join pound AK 2600. Now, the same thing holds true for countries, except you place the two-letter country code at the end of the 2600. That's in case, I don't know if this even happens, that's in case a country has the same two letters as a state. You don't have confusion. You know, that would be bad if like, Pakistan and Pennsylvania, you know, didn't know who was who. I don't think that's the case. But every country has a two-letter code. In fact, there's a file on our system that will tell you what all the two-letter codes are. So basically, if, say, you were in France, I believe, would be pound 2600 FR. That's one way of doing it. So since we have listeners all over the world, I think it's wise to tell them this.
Well, is there a pound 2600 US for people who are in the United States and get interested in doing the whole international thing?
That channel could exist. We haven't figured out quite who would use it, but feel free to join. If you're the first one in there, you know, you're the first person creating it. So,
cool.
you can run it. You can run it, and you'll have our blessings.
Yay.
Absolutely. So that's the best way to stay in touch with people. And the channel itself, the Pound 2600 channel, is probably the biggest one there now. That's really taken off. A lot of people in there having good conversations and growing every day. And, you know, I just think the mood is so much better than on the other IRC networks where people get kind of belligerent. You know, it's a friendly place now. And not subject to takeovers because we have the server this time. So, that's that. Now, here's another listener piece of mail. After listening to the June 15th episode, I spent some time going through the Blue Pages, our Canadian government directory. I discovered an atomic clock listing in the 613 area code. Not sure how cheap a long-distance call from New York is to the 613 area code, but it might be cheaper than calling the U.S. Naval clock. Not likely, but might be interesting. Let's call that number and see just what we get. Okay, we have our dial tone. Number... Uh-oh. Didn't let us call there. I wonder why not. Okay, let's try this again. Got one. Okay, that's how it went through. 613-745-1576. Of course, I'll have to enter my secret code in a second. Okay, that has been successfully entered.
MRC, Eastern Daylight Time, 20 hours, 18 minutes, and 50 seconds.
Check that out. Our clock is exactly right.
Well, we are.
MRC, Eastern Daylight Time, 20 hours, 19 minutes, exactly.
All right, well, 1 second off.
I like
that's
the
closest
US,
we've ever been.
MRC.
I like
Eastern
the U.S. Naval
Observatory's clock better.
Well, hours,
it sounds much more
minutes,
human. This is very mechanical.
How can an atomic clock sound human?
Well, call the USNO. You want that number?
Exactly 1 second late.
Yeah, well, 1 second
one
late.
1 second early, sorry.
Or 1 second early? All right. I think they're gone.
Oh, and the USNO gives their full minute.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what's their number?
That's 202.
Hang on, I got to get down here. 202, that's in Washington, D.C.
Yep, 762-1401.
Okay, I'm going to enter my secret code. Actually, there's no real harm in my secret code going out over the air because nobody can use it from outside. Just other BAI producers could use
U.S.
it.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Daylight Time, 20 hours, 20 minutes, exactly. Universal Time, 0 hours,
yeah.
20 minutes,
it's much more pleasant,
5 seconds.
He sounds a lot friendlier.
Yeah.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Daylight
really
Time,
silly?
20 hours,
they,
20
they
minutes,
used to have. I think they still make
seconds.
A real audio.
Universal Time, 0
you can
hours,
listen to this
minutes,
via real
well,
audio.
What good is that?
It's not good at all because the lag.
Right.
When,
of course.
But it's really
tone,
an annoyance
Eastern
factor thing
Daylight
for other people
time,
in your office.
20 hours,
uh-huh.
20
or it
minutes,
keeps you awake when you're doing an iChat.
You know, Universal Time,
people look at you very
0
strongly.
Hours, 20 minutes. 35
what if everybody asks this guy the time in the street?
U.S. Naval Observatory.
How he reacts.
Weren't we told a couple of days ago about something
Eastern
like this? Well, so a couple of weeks ago, we were over in the wire room over there, and somebody was talking that they were being thrown off every 2 minutes unless you subscribe for like $1,000.
We just got hung up on here. Well, I don't see any need to subscribe to the time for $1,000.
No, it struck me as strange when I heard it.
Plus, you know, the time doesn't really matter all that much here, so we're a second off, you know, it's...
But a lot can happen in that second.
That's probably true. Here's another piece of mail from a listener who did quite a bit of research here. I did a little study of what it costs to make a long-distance phone call from a Bell Atlantic payphone in New York City. This is interesting. The rates are basically the same whether you call an exchange in New Jersey, 40 miles away, or if you call California. Few people realize the tremendous differences in cost depending on how you are paying for the call. On calls handled by major carriers, rates are as follows. First 3 minutes, $3.80. Each additional 3 minutes, $1.70. So a 7 minute call winds up costing $7.20. That's more than $1 a minute just for putting in coins. It's amazing. Collect call, first minute costs $5.60. Each additional minute, 55 cents. So a 7 minute call winds up costing $8.90 plus tax, even more. If you pay with an AT&T calling card, the first minute is $1.79, each additional minute, 50 cents, so a 7 minute call winds up costing you $4.79 plus tax. It's a lot different than your dime a minute rates, or even less than that. Prepaid calling cards can cost anywhere between 10 and 30 cents per minute. A call from a payphone uses an extra unit or two for the first minute. Costco, those Price Club people, currently sells 150-minute MCI or Sprint prepaid calling cards for $15. Other outlets may charge more. So the average price for the first minute ranges from 30 cents to 60 cents. Each additional minute, 10 cents to 30 cents. So a 7 minute call on a prepaid calling card winds up costing you between 90 cents and $2.40. So that's obviously the cheapest of these methods. There are also many payphones, in particular in Upper Manhattan, where long-distance calls are handled by companies other than AT&T, Sprint, or MCI. They charge only 25 cents per minute for any long-distance call with a one-minute minimum. And those phones, 25 cents for the first minute, 25 cents each additional minute, so a seven-minute call winds up costing you $1.75. So I guess that's the cheapest. Amazing. A CoCut is actually the cheapest of them all. Surprising. Anyway, that came from a listener named Cass, and thanks very much for sending that information in. We encourage our listeners to do that kind of research and share the results with us.
And they say if Rebel did something like that, we might put up with them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think we would.
it was a thought.
Yeah, it was a thought. Dear Off the Hook, I'm surprised you didn't mention, this is interesting, the merger. If anybody else has heard about this, the merger between VoiceStream, based in Bellevue, Washington, and OmniPoint this week. They issued the press release last Wednesday, I believe. You can get the details in the press release section of both websites at www.voicestream.com and www.omnipoint.com. So that's going to be kind of interesting. Yes, Pork Chop.
If they change the name on the LCD screen, as I heard they will, they'll change the name from OmniPoint to VoiceStream.
Yeah, OmniPoint will be taking VoiceStream's name according to this.
VoiceStream is 11 characters, is it not?
I believe it is, yeah.
I have a 10-character display.
Uh-oh.
How's this going to work?
Oh, my goodness. You're not going to be able to fit the phone company's name on your phone.
That's right. It'll be VoiceStream.
VoiceStream or OiStream.
Maybe that's why that one carrier in the middle of nowhere that you always pick up in Dayton...
Yeah, 31031 or whatever it is. Well, it's a really stupid system then, you know? You have room for a name, but you can't fit anything over 10 characters. That's pretty silly.
What's the parrot going to say now?
I don't know. I imagine I'll have to have a whole different marketing strategy there. Anyway, a couple of other news items, and we'll take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Did you know that slow download times at online shopping sites could place at risk as much as $4.35 billion in U.S. e-commerce revenues each year? That's according to a report issued this week by Zona Research. Analysts estimated that online shoppers would wait up to 8 seconds for a site to download. More than a third of surfers surveyed said they would give up trying to buy things over the net if frustrated by the shopping experience.
Okay, lesson to be learned here.
Yes.
People who make these sites, don't put so many tables in, don't put such huge graphics in,
mm-hmm.
just give the information to the people. But this article is probably going to say that we need to ramp up the infrastructure to carry all this data, right?
Well, basically, Jack Staff, director and chief economist at Zona Research, says online companies must quicken download times to avoid losing sales and customers to brick-and-mortar stores.
Ooh,
that's a strange way of saying that. The sales risk crosses all types of sites. For example, an estimated $3 million may be lost monthly due to slow securities trading sites, and $2.8 million is vulnerable every month because of poorly performing travel and tourism sites. I told you about my nightmare with the multiple monitors.
Multiple monitors?
Yeah, you see, I was ordering a monitor on a site, and you know, I use this special encrypted way of sending your credit card number, and I was trying to order a monitor, and I got this thing that came back, said encryption error, you know, from Internet Explorer. So I tried it again, encryption error. I tried it later on, and again, encryption error. The next thing I got was an email saying, do you really want all these monitors? from the person in charge of sending them out. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to stop all the monitors from coming out. A lot more would have come out, but there was at least one or two that I didn't want that wound up getting shipped. So that's one of the real threats right there, is that that you know, computer snafus can cause these kind of things. You got to be careful. I still don't know what that encryption error is all about. Okay, new software. This is of interest. A new internet forensic tool has been introduced that aims to help educators, police, and other law enforcement officials trace the past worldwide web activity of computer users.
Looking over a shoulder?
Pretty much. I mean, this is what every parent wants, to be able to find out where Junior has gone on his website explorations. Net Threat Analyzer from Gresham, Oregon-based New Technology Incorporated. What a great name that is. New Technology.
I'm more interested in the town they're in.
Gresham?
Gresham.
That mean something?
I have no idea, but it's, you know, I just like to be able to proudly say that I'm from Gresham.
Well, okay. Feel free.
Thank you.
Net Threat Analyzer can be used to identify past internet browsing and email activity done through specific computers. The software analyzes a computer's disk drive and other storage areas that are generally unknown to or beyond the reach of most general computer users. Kids can figure out ways so that their parents don't find anything on their machine, but Net Threat Analyzer goes back in after the fact where things are easier to detect, said Scott Stevens, program manager at NTI, and apparently the person there was able to say something that means absolutely nothing and have people believe it. What does that mean, goes back in after the fact when things are easier to detect? What's he talking about?
Don't ask me.
Stevens went on to say the company will make its Net Threat Analyzer available July 6th. Is that today?
Oh, my.
No, it's available. It's available.
It's available today.
Free of charge.
Hey.
To computer crime specialists, school officials, and police.
For those of you with a Netscape browser, you just want to type about colon global.
Okay. What will that get you?
That will get you the history file of where the thing has been and what you've downloaded.
Why don't you just click on the history file?
Which history file?
The history file for Netscape. Isn't that what you just said to do?
No, about colon global. It's like a nifty about thing. You could also do like about Mozilla. Check out JWZ's site. He's got like a whole list of them.
Okay.
Never mind. Keep reading.
Fine. All right. The program is booted from a floppy disk and uses filtering tools to collect data on users' basic browsing and email history. It flags possible threats, like anything dealing with drugs, bombs, country codes, or pornography. What? How is a country code a threat?
Remember, kids, don't go international.
Drugs, bombs, country codes, or pornography.
I'm more interested in the fact that they actually boot from a floppy disk. This is becoming an arcane piece of hardware now.
Websites are changing so often that it's difficult to keep up with which ones are porn sites or drug sites. Especially when one day you're a drug site, the next day you're a porn site. The next day you're on eBay, you know, and they just keep going like that. Stevens uses the example of www.whitehouse.gov, which is now a porn site. Reading it wrong. I'm sorry. It's the official White House website, and www.whitehouse.com, which is a pornography site, and it is too. Don't check it out, kids, because it's illegal.
Intern of the month is great.
Yeah. If Junior's been to whitehouse.com 300 to 500 times, it will make it through most net nanny software, this guy says, but that will cause a red flag with our product. If that's the only thing that they do differently, I really don't know why it's getting all this attention. I'd love to find out, but here's the thing. While they say the software is designed to help prevent situations like the recent tragedies at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, which could have been prevented with
software. Any software, of
yeah.
course, yes.
And the Thurston High School in Springfield, Oregon, where weapons were made by teenagers who had downloaded the instructions from the Internet, the company that specializes in computer forensic tools and training has posted order forms for its software on its website, www.forensics-intl.com. Here's the thing. The tool is not available to the public. Why have the public get access to this? Because maybe they'll figure out how it works and how easy it is to get around. A special version can be purchased by Fortune 500 companies.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess they really have a problem with kids accessing the wrong things. Government agencies, military agencies, and consultants who have a legitimate need for the software.
All right, so what's the military agency going to do with it? You don't want the troops downloading instructions
that
are bombs?
They're implying here that the average person doesn't have a legitimate need for this software, yet they tout it as something that is used to determine if somebody's going someplace they're not supposed to go.
Is this company going public in the near future?
I don't know, but they went public with this news story, and I just can't believe it myself. This is an example. I think people have the right to see this. Now, if you had the ability to copy this program, would you not copy it and show it to people and try to dissect it yourself?
Why would I waste my time with it?
Because you're curious, because you want to know how it works, because you want to see what the threats are.
Well, we've already done one of those in the latest issue.
But this one in particular, that's right. In the current issue, a net nanny type program that was written by a cop is dissected, and you can see all the nasty words that they are looking for, you know, the things that they use to reference and say, this means that you did something bad. And you can learn a whole lot of vocabulary words, too.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
I lost that little roundtable game that we tried playing.
It's an education.
Yeah.
It's an education for almost anybody. But, I mean, I don't understand why they're keeping this this kind of material from people. We should know how this is working. So, yeah, if you have access to it, please let us know, because we will let other people know. Okay. I guess it's time now to check our voicemail.
Do-do-do.
Yeah, it's basically turned into a routine. So let's give ourselves a call. Our voicemail number is area code 212-209-2967. And you can leave us messages in case you can't get through on the air. I hope they're not all rebel this week like last week. That'd really be annoying. Okay, that's us. Let's
please enter your mailbox number.
Enter our mailbox number.
Please enter your security code.
Okay, I'm entering our special security code. I don't think that worked
Please
for some reason.
Please enter your security code.
Okay, let's try that again. Uh-oh, did we get hacked?
Please enter your security code.
She doesn't like my security. I'm going to try it one more time, and then I'm going to think there's a problem. Okay, now I think there's a problem. What's she going to do after
this? Please enter your mailbox number.
Okay, I think we got to start all over again, so let's try that.
Please enter your security code.
Okay, we can't get through anymore to our mailbox, I guess. What number did I just give out?
Your security code.
Maybe I'm typing it wrong. It was 209-2967? Isaac, you look blank.
I always look blank.
I just said it a few seconds ago.
I actually said I would make a note of it before it's soon, so...
Uh-huh. Please enter your security code.
Okay, I think the system is just completely broken. I'm going to just start over again. How about that? Get a dial tone. Okay. Okay, dial 209-2967. Right? Make a note of that, Isaac. Make a note of it.
2967.
Make sure that's our number. You should hear the off-the-hook theme in a second. Okay. Now I'm going to...
Please enter your mailbox number.
Enter my mailbox number.
Please enter your security code.
Now I'm going to enter my security code.
You have two new messages and five saved messages. To listen to your messages, press L. To record and send a message, press RS. For the complete main menu of features, press 0. Ready.
Okay, what we have to do is...
To listen to your messages, press L.
Just did that.
If you want to get a...
Okay, oops.
Hi, Emmanuel. A few things. Okay. First,
let's go back to that first message.
Go on, modern computers and their predecessors in terms of what some people believe of, you know, the ancient Egyptians or Urantians or mystics having, like, modern computational abilities and stuff and all the esoteric stuff thousands of years ago, and all of those Hindu mathematicians who, you know, were, like, doing what Newton was doing thousands of years before, number one. And let's see what else. Number two, is there any place I can get a group photo of you guys just to see and to contrast and compare what you look like? Because I know what you look like, Emmanuel. I saw you on TV, but I'd be curious, like, who looks like a geek, who has a fashion model like fiber optic, who, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And include Pam in the photo, preferably in lingerie. I'm just kidding. And the last thing is, what's the deal with Rebel? Could you, like, do a story on your origins with him? Is he a friend of yours and you had a fight and that's why he calls you every week? Have you known him for a long time? Is he like some COINTEL guy or like you two went to high school and he took acid and got his brain scrambled or what? And also, how about a party for BAI listeners, like, you know, with the 2600 theme? So I don't want to get cut off, so what else? That's about it. And it's hard for me to get through on the show usually. I want to say hello to Faye, the psychologist in Queens, who's a big fan of the show. And let's see what else. And, all right, that's about it. I'll quit now before I make a total fool of myself. I'll suffice with making an 85% fool of myself. Ciao.
The message has been saved.
Okay.
To erase the message, press E.
Let's move on.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox. Ready.
Next message.
Me again. Just a request.
Oh, boy.
Could you devote a few minutes to, like, the connection between Monty Python and Lemon Curry?
The message has been saved.
I don't think so. It's too controversial.
To erase the message, press E.
Next message.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox. Ready.
It's been a quiet...
Okay, people, one message per show here.
Kelly Krebsbach went to the local computer store to get a upgrade for her IBM PC. To be continued next week.
The message has been saved.
Is that the start of a
limerick? Erase,
I don't know.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox. Ready.
Let's continue.
I called about the PC Expo thing. I didn't really get a chance to tell my whole story because time was short. Basically, all I wanted to say is that it was pretty stupid how they kicked us out even though we were under 18. And the story is, we first get there, we go up to the teller, and he tells us the price is about $50. My mom goes, that's very expensive. So since she's in the press, we went to the press office, and they actually let us in. Then after a while of being there, the security guy goes up to us and asks all the kids for ID. Of course, we didn't have any, so I'm guessing that all the radios on the security guards must have been going off at those kids. So a couple other security guards came up to us and asked us to leave, and that's basically it. Now, I think the way they can fix it is if the parents had some kind of agreement to sign, knowing that their children were there and that they would take full responsibility for whatever would happen. I'm sure that would fix most of the issues, but, I mean, if we did get hurt, then they would have to put up with some kind of calling the parents, telling their children were hurt, something like that. But I don't think it's right that kids are locked out of some place that they want to go to. And if I could learn something from that, that's all I want to say. All right, bye.
Okay, it's a continuation of a call from last week.
Do we have time for commentary, or are we just mowing through the...
Well, let's comment after we get through, because she'll get angry otherwise. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. I don't know what that's going to do. Oh, now I've
done. That is an invalid entry.
I'm sorry.
The message has been saved.
No, I didn't want
to
save
it. To erase the message.
Erase it.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox.
Okay.
Yo, everyone at Off the Hook, everyone online at IRC wants to see...
Okay, this one we didn't hear, so we're going to skip that one. We have to preview them before the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Including that one. That one, obviously, we didn't. Okay. I don't think we heard any of these, so we're going to have to get those ones later. But anyway, okay, go ahead. If you have a comment for the last
hold on.
Comment.
It's coming back to me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. The people who put on this expo
mm-hmm.
are there to make money. They're not there to amuse children. I'm giving you the perspective of the person who's holding the expo.
Okay.
They're looking to get people in there and get them all hooked on, like, really cool stuff so that they will go out and empty their wallets and purses in stores or directly to the company.
Well,
they're not interested in letting...
Let me give you the perspective of a child.
Okay.
And a child actually is somebody below 18, according to these people. Any company that is in one of these expos does not want your business now, in the future.
Correct.
Take note of it. Do not ever buy anything from these companies. Do whatever you can to drive these companies out of business.
Bingo.
Because they're treating you like crap, you can treat them like crap.
Bingo.
That's the perspective you are going to get if you continue to treat people like that, and it's not fair. It's completely not fair. People under 18 are some of the people that are designing these systems in the first place. They are people with some of the keenest understanding of where the technology is going. To deny them access, it's not only rude, it's just stupid. You know, I don't understand what it's certainly not an insurance issue. And if they're hiding behind that, they're lying, because it's not an insurance. They allow kids in malls. They allow kids, you know, all over the place. It's not a question of insurance. It's a question they don't trust kids. They think kids are going to destroy things. Now, you know, I could see maybe someone under five, maybe, you know, and usually they're accompanied by parents who take care of them. But other people, you know, they have a legitimate interest. Should be respected.
Yes, but they're there to make money, and that's their prime goal.
Well, first of all,
it's a stupid way to do it. I will agree with you 100%.
What do you mean by make money?
No,
they don't actually sell things.
No,
there.
They don't
demonstrate things.
They're trying to, you know, do the dog and pony show
mm-hmm.
and get people to try and buy things. And the assumption that is made is that the 14-year-old doesn't have the money to go out and buy this thing, which is a stupid assumption.
It's a very stupid assumption. And also, they're forgetting something else, that 14-year-olds turn into 15-year-olds, and then they continue to go...
And later become 18-year-olds.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And they remember companies that had good ideas. Yeah. They wound up working for these companies. They wound up helping them come up with design, better design flaws, whatever. It's really silly to...
The people at the expo are shooting themselves in the foot with this.
So how would you, as a 14-year-old, handle this?
How would I, as a 14-year-old, handle this?
Yeah. Well, what would you do? Write letters, complain, call radio shows, what?
Well, I'd call Off the Hook and
well, apart from that, yes.
Oh, well, apart from that, I would probably just say, okay, you obviously don't want my business. I'll take note of this, and in the future, I will not be giving you any of my money, and I will encourage my friends and family to do the same.
You know what else?
I simply would like to have gone to this thing and see what's going on.
You know what else works?
What works?
Picketing.
picketing.
Stand
them
outside the damn place with picket signs. 100 kids under 18 years of old saying we're not allowed to see what's in here.
That could be very interesting.
Yeah, and that's how you get results.
It
guaranteed.
Would, in fact, it would probably embarrass the people who are holding the expo more mm-hmm. than anything else, so that they just bring them all in and probably give you free passes or something like that.
Well, everybody gets free passes. Nobody pays to go to these things.
Well, he was supposed to pay $50.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But people should be treated all equally. Anyway, if anyone's interested in doing that, please send us email. Be happy to help out in that regard. 212-209-2900 is our phone number, so let's take some live phone calls now. Pick a number from 1 to 12.
I don't want to be blamed for picking Rebel.
Pork Chef, how about you?
7, but I reserve the right to change it.
Well, if you're going to change it now. 7, okay, here we go. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up.
Yeah, I just want to add one comment to what you were saying about the kids.
Go ahead.
Most of these young kids, I don't want them in the show because they know a lot about the equipment, and they'll be able to catch them in a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh. That, you mean they know a lot about the flaws of the technology?
That's right. They know so much about the technology. They're standing next to adults that don't know that much about the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it much more difficult for them to double talk.
It's like say a carnival from like the 1900s where, you know, some kid knows the trick that the guy is performing and ripping people off, and the guy wants the kid to shut up and not say, this is how the trick is done, this is how you're going to lose all your money, right?
Exactly, that's in a nutshell.
Amazing. Thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
That's really it.
Yeah.
You don't want people who are sharper than your potential customers to be around to say, hey, this guy's not telling you the truth.
The whole thing is being driven by money and how much of it they can extract from the expo goers' purses and wallets.
That's why I hate these things. I hate those kind of shows. You know, hacker conventions are much better because everybody goes, everybody shares information, nobody's left out. You know, why can't the rest of the world be like that? 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, you talked about this once before. My wife and I both have a telephone here. We get a ring once, and then when I dial *69, I don't get any. They say the number is not available. You said something that the telephone does this, or are there? I'm kind of a radical. Are they checking for?
Well, what time does this happen?
During the day, up to 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening, from 8 until 6.
How often does it happen in one day?
Sometimes once, sometimes twice.
Uh-huh. It's always, is it a full ring or just a portion of
the
ring?
It's just one ring. And, of course, I grab it right away. My wife waits for two rings, and, of course, she waits for two rings, but it's still nobody answers.
Uh-huh. That does not sound like the phone company checking their lines, because when the phone company checks their lines, usually late at night, you hear a single solitary little ding on your bell or a little chirp on your electronic phone. This sounds like something, either a person calling or a machine auto-dialing you. And if you had a caller ID box, it would say something. It would probably say unavailable if you're not able to *69 the person back.
Every time I've done *69, they say it's unavailable.
Uh-huh. So that could be somebody calling from out of the area, somebody calling from an office phone, someone even blocking their number would have that effect. If it becomes a real issue and it's something that's really bothering you, you can have the Annoyance Call Bureau look into it. You can call them. The number is in the front of the phone book. But for something like this, it doesn't sound like real harassment. It just sounds like a minor annoyance. I would try to set up your phone so that doesn't bother you, so that when the phone rings, you don't lunge for it all the time. You know, basically have an answer machine on to preview the call, and if nobody says anything, then ignore it. That's how we really have to live our lives these days, because there's just so many junk phone calls being made and so many machines calling other machines and people.
Fine. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay. You got it. You gotta move a little faster, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. You know, I just want to mention.
Were you trying to disguise your voice?
No, I'm not disguising my voice.
Well, when you said hello, man, didn't he sound different?
Yeah, he sounded a little depressed.
Well, he sounded like he was trying to lower his voice. So I wouldn't.
No,
there,
I
you see, now it's high up again,
no,
like
I
it's supposed
I'm
to be.
Annoying.
See?
I sound annoyed, don't I?
You sound annoyed?
Yeah, you know why?
Because you're the third caller. You're not the first caller. You're losing your touch.
Yeah, I'm losing my... Yeah, but you know why?
Why are you losing your touch, Rebel?
Using the telephone in this country is getting even more annoying.
It really is. You know, it makes you not want to use the telephone at all, doesn't it?
I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh,
on
boy.
40th Street and 8th Avenue, there's a payphone. And guess what it does?
Whoa.
Does it make phone calls?
No.
No? I can't imagine what it does then.
It's a Bell Atlantic payphone, and guess what it does when you try and dial something?
No, I think we should guess this. Isaac, it's your turn. What do you think this payphone
is?
We'll
have Jeopardy music in the background for this.
It's got to do something.
You have to dial something. I would imagine that it would then place the call, take your money, mm-hmm. and allow you to talk to somebody.
Well,
evidently, this isn't what's going to happen, otherwise Rebel wouldn't...
Well, I think it's not making a phone call, because...
Okay.
And I think it's probably swallowing more money than it's supposed to, and I can't imagine what else the phone could do. Maybe give you an electric shock on top of that.
That'd be interesting.
That would be cool. Okay, Rebel, what does the phone do?
Guess what this payphone...
We just tried guessing. Tell us now.
This Bell Atlantic payphone of 48th...
We know where it is. 40th and 8th, yes. There's a crowd heading over there right now. What does it do?
46th and 8th, when you try and dial...
Wait, is it 40th and 8th or 46th and 8th?
46th and 8th.
It moved. Okay, 46th and 8th.
And guess what it does? It's on the... And it's
it bounces from street to street. That's what it does.
Southeast corner. Southeast corner, and guess what it does? When you try and dial, it says, restricted to 911 only.
Maybe it didn't pay its bill. I don't know. That sounds like something that happens to people that don't pay.
Well, you know, it moved a couple of streets. It didn't get the bill forwarded properly, and these things happen.
You're saying there's a payphone on 46th and 8th that only makes calls to 911.
That's right. And even I took my cellular phone and put my cellular phone to try and make it dial, and it still does it.
How about 800 numbers?
No, nothing. If you dial 1, it still says restricted to 911 only.
What if you dial 0?
It still says restricted to 911 only.
That's rather peculiar.
It does sound peculiar. I just discovered it, and it's just amazing.
What if you dial 958?
I tried that, and it still says, after you dial 9, it lets you dial something else. If you dial another digit after the 9, besides 1, it'll still say, restricted to 911.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Did you actually call the police on this thing?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That's good. Don't harass them. They got enough problems.
Let's see if this really works. No.
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't work. Yeah, it's always that possible.
Well, I'm not really interested.
So it's just a regular Bell Atlantic phone. Did you get a phone number on it?
Did I what?
Did you get a phone number on it? Is there a phone number?
No, because there's phone number scratched off, and of course I can't dial 958 to get the phone number.
And you can't dial repair, which is 890-6611.
Right.
Sounds like you're in a real pickle there.
Well, actually, it was one phone that I tested, so I don't know if there's more phones like it.
Well, the only way to find out is to check every phone in the area, which would be Manhattan, and get back to us. Let us know how many of these phones have this particular situation. We'll certainly check into this, and I'm sure Bell Atlantic is already sending a crew over there to check out this situation. Certainly is a unique one. Thanks for the call. Isn't he comes up with some interesting things, doesn't he?
Oh yes, I thought for a second there it was like dispensing gumballs or something, which would be really neat.
Mm.
I like the electric shock thing though. That was.
Well, I've gotten electric shocks from phones. I have.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a pleasant thing. Nothing to laugh at. I don't know what causes them.
I just get electric shocks from elevators and things.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
I called before and tried to leave that message, but you cut me off because I left it too late.
You're the recording, but now you're live.
Yeah.
Okay. What's on your mind?
All right. I'm here on the IRC, and I was just talking to everyone, and they all say they want to see that someone, while the show is going on, is in the studio and, like, on IRC, so that when you say something, you can take, like, a comment from someone.
Uh-huh.
We can have, like, a whole big discussion with, like, 100 people in the room.
So, yeah, we've actually done that before. We did that a few years ago, and it's a good thing to do occasionally. The only problem with doing it all the time is because what happens is you get fixated on the IRC people, and you forget other things that you're doing. But it can certainly be a portion of the show. We just have to get something hooked up onto the net here at the radio station. Well, what are people saying on the IRC channel now?
Everyone's just now people are just screaming, telling me to say like their name on the air. But
you kind of get that. You get a lot of that, and it's like it becomes kind of hard to pay attention.
Yeah, but like they're all saying, while the show is going on normally, aside from this, it's mm-hmm. everyone starts adding comments. We all start talking about it, and sometimes we forget to actually listen instead of talking on here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, like, there's always some kind of constructiveness, and it's always, like, sparking another conversation or something like that. So, IRC rules!
Okay. are you on the IRC 2600.net?
Yeah, I'm right there right now.
How many people are on the channel now?
In here, there's about 30 people.
Not bad. Not bad.
Looking into the sidebar.
We're about a week old as far as officially being released out there, so it continues to grow. Thanks for calling, and say hi to everybody.
All right, thank you.
All right. Live from IRC. How do you like that?
Ooh.
All right.
Actually reminds me, If you go to IRC2600.net on a web browser, mm-hmm. I believe there's a Java client up there that you can use. I believe that was put there. It's kind of interesting.
That's kind of cool too.
So
yeah.
If
well,
you don't have a Java, you don't have a IRC client of your own. Just pick someone else's.
212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I just found out that if you're trying to call someone, and you have a double line on your phone. You try the first time and you have a you call and they say you can't your call won't come through because it's blocked. Then somehow I'm not sure how if you go to the double line.
What's a double line?
Well, you know, you have a three-way line.
Okay.
And you switch over and you try again, it does go through.
You're saying if you call somebody who has anonymous call rejection,
right.
Meaning they don't take calls from private numbers,
right?
And you call that number.
Well,
and
if you the first number, well, what you're going to have to do is just call up a number on your first line, because obviously they're going to cut you off. You don't have enough time to switch over.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be cut off. I don't know if you can do it that way, but what I did was I told just a number with a recording of train information, and that's, you know, it's a long recording telling you all the trains and stuff. Then I switched over.
Okay.
My second line, three-way line, and I called the other number, and then it went through.
It went through. Well, you know, there's another more disturbing possibility, and that is that when you make a call on three-way, it doesn't block your number. Maybe that's possible. So
yeah, that's what
one way to check that for sure is to call the 2600 Voice BBS. We have something on there that allows you to check your caller ID information, and it'll read back your phone number, or it'll tell you if your number is restricted.
I'm sorry. Is it through Bell Atlantic?
Well, it's our phone number.
Your phone number.
Yeah, we have it in. It's a Bell Atlantic line, but we have it in our office. And basically, what you do is you enter a couple of touch tones, and it'll read back whatever caller ID information it got on you. So what I suggest you do is make that call to the train people, or whatever. Tie up the first line, then make your three-way call to us. The number is 516-473-2626.
473-2626?
Yeah, hit whatever touchdowns it tells you to hit, and it'll bring you to a caller ID menu. If it reads back your number and you have your number blocked, then we have a scandal, definitely. And we'll tell people about that.
Okay, and also let me ask you if your lines are tapping phones and stuff like that, if there's a new way of doing it today, they don't do it the old way. Is it through the encryption technology or?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, there are
chock full of buzzwords.
Yeah, there are many ways of listening in on phone calls over the air or landlines. It's a lot easier to listen in over the air, obviously.
The best source of information is to contact your local NSA representative. He'll certainly have a full list of possibilities so far as collection of your signals intelligence.
They would tell us.
No.
Well, they won't tell you, but you can ask.
They're not going to tell you anything. The best way is to simply ask around, talk to people in the hacker community, go to 2600 meetings and things like that. And if there's something out there that we know of, we'll certainly let you know about it as well. That's why we're such a threat, because we tell people what we know and what we hear. And if you have something to tell us, please send it to us as well. Our address here is Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Email oth@2600.com. That's going to do it for us tonight. Isaac, you'll be here in the studio by yourself next week. Well, actually, I'll be on the phone, calling from somewhere, either in California or Nevada, somewhere around there, because I will be going to the Kevin Mitnick hearing next Monday. And we'll find out what the sentencing is.
Cool.
He's due to be sentenced next Monday around 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, I believe. And it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Hopefully we can get into the courthouse. If we can't get into the courthouse, we'll be outside the courthouse and we'll report back. So tune in next week. Also, check out the website, w.2600.com, and that will have the latest information. Also, kevinmitnick.com will have that. Should be an interesting week. Of course, we have DEF CON coming up this weekend. We'll give you a report from that as well.
Yeah, you all have fun out there.
It's not about fun, Isaac.
It's about
learning. It's about sharing experiences.
Oh, okay.
It's about surviving 120-degree heat as well.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right?
Well, we're doing that in New York now, so.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess so. Anyway, that'll do it for us this week. For Isaac and Porkchop, this is Emmanuel. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my voice.
to the consciousness of the nation, the sounds of the Asians.
Thinking about Asians? Want to know more? Check it out. Asia Pacific Forum, New York's only Pan-Asian radio program, exclusively on WBAI 99.5 FM. Asia Pacific Forum is about the Asian consciousness, politics, culture, music, the spirit. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
And this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Stay tuned for Tahrir, your weekly Arab and Muslim magazine.